All right. If everybody will take their Bible, please, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Because today, I want to challenge you with one simple idea. I want to plead with you to give your life to Christ. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I plead with you to right now give Him your life. And if you are saved, I plead with you to live for Him. To live for Him. And so let's read here, beginning in verse 11, and we'll read through the rest of the chapter here. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is of God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your word, and thank you for another opportunity to open these pages. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, as we sit in this church building, and then also speak to the hearts of those who are watching by way of the internet. But allow your spirit to speak to us and teach us and help us to understand, and then help us take what we learn and use it in our lives for your glory and honor. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me begin this morning by telling you a little bit about the Corinthians. They may not have had cell phones or cars or comfy buildings with padded pews and central heat and air, but they were pretty much like the average Christian today. They weren't as spiritually mature as they should have been. They were prone to cliques, and they were guilty of not taking sin seriously. They could be petty. They were a bit idolatrous. They had trouble with irreverent worship, and they were guilty of judging the spirituality of others by how outwardly blessed they appeared to be. They also had money problems, and marriage problems, and problems with getting people to use their gifts and their talents for Christ. This church also couldn't appreciate Paul and his entourage and the way they suffered for the gospel. And like many churches today, they were very much a church who struggled to find freedom from their culture, and they struggled to be different for Christ. And to be truthful, we have that struggle today. And I'm not saying, of course, that we're not basically good people who come to church and carry a Bible and try to love other people. But But if there's a major difference between the lives that most of us live and the lives we're called to live, the big difference between those two is that we struggle to get our feet out of our love for the world, and we struggle to embrace the life to which we've been called. And I believe that's at the heart of this passage of Scripture. And I want you to notice verse 20 once again, because this is going to be our theme verse this morning. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now I want you to say this with me this morning. I'm an ambassador for Christ. Let me hear it. I'm an ambassador for Christ. And of course, if you've been in church any length of time, you already know that. You already know you're an ambassador for Christ. But what does that really mean? Well, in short, it means two things. First, an ambassador is someone who represents the interests of another. We have U.S. ambassadors stationed in other countries. And they are not there on vacation or to pursue their own interests. They are stationed there to represent the interests of the United States. After all, their citizenship is in the United States. And we, like that, as believers, have been stationed here in this world to represent our homeland. And our ultimate homeland isn't the United States. It isn't Rhode Island. It isn't Providence County. It isn't Barreville. It's heaven. It's heaven. And so we as ambassadors are to represent the interests of heaven. And then second, an ambassador is someone who bears the message of the one who sent him. When you're an ambassador, you're not asked, you're not tasked with making people like you or telling them what they want to hear or to please an audience. You are to declare the message that was given to you by your leaders. And like that, when we interact with those who are far from Christ, we're supposed to bear God's message. Not our opinions or ideas, not our goals or interests. We are ambassadors for Christ, and we bear his message. Now, let me ask you this. Let's get real pointed this morning. When it comes to being an ambassador for Christ, are you a good one or a bad one? You know, over the years, I've heard church people want to get church bumper stickers for all of us to put on our cars. You know, follow me to church, Pasco Community Baptist Church, or I go to Pasco Community Baptist Church, or whatever. And I think we all know why most churches don't do that. You very rarely see those kind of bumper stickers. And I think the reason is there are just some people that you don't want representing the church, because they're not good ambassadors. But I believe everyone in this room this morning wants to be the best ambassador, the best representative for Christ that they can be. You want to be the best ambassador for him that you can possibly be. And so here's what I believe needs to happen. If you want to be a better ambassador for Christ than you were last week or yesterday or even before you came here this morning, then I believe from our text, there are several things that need to become a reality in your life. Number one is this. You need to become convinced of the terror of the Lord. Did you notice that in verse 11? Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Did you know that every human being is going to stand before the Lord one day? If you're saved, You'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ. It's actually mentioned back in verse 10 of this chapter. And it's for believers. And we're going to give an account of what we did with Christ. We're going to give an account for the motives of our Christian service, right? And it's sad but true that there are going to be many Christians who will stand there with little or nothing to show because they just wasted their lives on carnal, short-sighted living. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3 that one day their works will be tested by fire to see if the life they built on the foundation of Christ was of any eternal value. Now, I'm glad that in Christ, I'm safe and secure. The judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment to determine whether or not I'm going to heaven. That was settled the very moment I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. But I have to admit, it does scare me a little bit to think of standing before Him at the judgment seat and having my Christian life and my Christian service examined by Him. That's a little scary thing there. But thankfully, my eternal destiny is settled. I know I'm on my way to heaven because I'm trusting in Jesus and Jesus alone to get me there. But that's the judgment we will face as Christians, the judgment seat of Christ. But those who are lost will face a different judgment. They will face the great white throne judgment. That's a place described for us in Revelation chapter 20 where God condemns everyone who has refused His Son. Everyone who thought they'd try to be good enough to get to heaven. Everyone who had a better way than Jesus. Everyone who thought they'd put it off for another day. This is the judgment where all the lost are condemned to hell for all eternity. And listen, as ambassadors for Christ, we need to get it in our heads and in our hearts that everyone outside of Jesus Christ, everyone who has rejected Him, everyone who has refused to receive Him as their Savior, every single one of them are the targets of the righteous terror of the Lord. Now, as Christians, as I said, we've been delivered from that. But there are many people all around us every day who are headed for that awful great white throne judgment. That neighbor or spouse or kid or parent, that grocery store clerk, that waitress at the restaurant, that classmate or coworker who sits near you, the guy who changes your oil. And God has placed them in your life. And their eternity hangs in the balance. And without Christ, they will face the terror of the Lord. It's real. And we need to become convinced of it. Because you may be the only voice they hear proclaiming the good news of Christ, the message that can keep them from hell and get them into heaven. And so if you're going to be a good ambassador for Christ, you need to be convinced of the terror of the Lord, the reality of hell. Now, here's number two. If you're going to be a good ambassador for Christ, then you need to get some persuasion to you about Christ. That is, you need to get yourself a little boldness about opening up your mouth and speaking for Him. It does say that also there in verse 11, right? Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You know, I like Burger King. But some people prefer McDonald's. And some people prefer Wendy's. But you know what? Who cares? Who cares? I'm not going to spend any amount of time trying to convince you that you need to eat at Burger King instead of one of the other places, right? Because who cares about that? But unfortunately, that's the kind of attitude we often take with people when it comes to Jesus. It's as if our attitude is, you know, it'd be nice if you came to Jesus, but if you don't, that's cool too. Or, I gave my life to Jesus, but if you don't want to, or you want to explore your options, that's cool too. No, it's not cool. And shame on us for not caring enough to try to persuade people otherwise. Paul says here that knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade others. Back in verse 20, it says that God makes his appeal through us. And Paul was busy imploring people. And if we were really convinced of the terror of the Lord and the reality of hell, we'd be pleading with people too. If we really understood that our lost friends and family were going to the lake of fire, we'd implore them to give their lives to Christ. It ought to be a major motivation to us when it comes to being an ambassador for Christ. And so if we're going to be good ambassadors for Christ, we need to be convinced of the terror of the Lord and the reality of hell. And we also need to get some boldness about us and start persuading people. But the terror of the Lord, let me say, is not our only motivation. Right? There's a second motivation, right? And it's point number three. It's this. You need to be gripped by the compelling love of Christ. You need to be gripped by the compelling love of Christ. Look at verse 14 again here. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The amazing, gracious love of Christ controlled him. It constrained him. It pushed him. It compelled him to see himself as an ambassador for Christ. And as a result, he pled with the souls of anyone who would hear him. He said he had concluded this, that one, that is Jesus Christ, had died for all. He died for you. He died for me. He died for your neighbor. He died for that good-for-nothing relative. He died for that sorry, foul-mouthed co-worker. He died for the best person you know. He died for the worst person you know. He died for Republicans. He died for Democrats. He died for straight people. He died for gay people. He died for the left. He died for the right. He died for our soldiers, and he died for those who are objectors. He died for the police, and he died for those who want to defund the police. He died for Billy Graham. He died for Osama bin Laden. He died for white people, black people, brown people, red people, yellow people. He died for all people.
That's right.
All people. Amen. And because he died for all, Paul says, all have died. And what Paul is saying is that because of our sin, every one of us deserve death. I'm talking eternal death here, right? That's what he's talking about. Eternal separation from God in hell. We all deserve the righteous condemnation and wrath of God. But Jesus made it possible for us to escape that condemnation. Jesus died for our sins. He died in our place. He died on that old rugged cross just as if he were you. His death was imputed to us, and those who choose to give their lives to Christ in salvation are raised to new life just as Jesus was. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I do not understand the love of Christ for me. And you probably don't understand it for you either. And the Bible doesn't explain it. The Bible does not explain why he would love the likes of us. But it just states that he does. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And if you're going to be a better ambassador for Christ, you need to spend some time reflecting on the love he has for you. God commended his love for you, and that while you have lied or cheated or thought those terrible things or been unwilling to forgive or been unkind or decided to do what you want to do with your time or whatever else it might be, Jesus Christ died just as if he were you. And he took upon himself the wrath of God that should have been yours. He took upon himself the penalty and the punishment for our sin, so that we wouldn't have to face it. And that right there is the ultimate expression of love. The ultimate expression of love. And the question is, does the love that Jesus Christ has for you compel you to go out as his ambassador and share the love of Christ with those people that he brings across your path? And so if we're going to be good ambassadors for Christ, first of all, you need to be convinced of the terror of the Lord, the reality of hell. And you need to get some persuasion about you. That is, you need to get some holy boldness in you and open your mouth for the Lord. And then third, you need to be gripped by the compelling love of Christ. And here's the fourth one, and we'll finish up. You need to come to terms with your new identity in Christ. Let's read verses 15 through 19 one more time. Look at this. "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Now, there are three questions that I want to ask you in relation to your new identity. First of all, who are you living for? In verse 15, it said that Jesus died for us so that we would quit living for ourselves. Isn't that interesting wording? Jesus died so we would quit. It's like Jesus, by dying, was rescuing us from living for ourselves. Remember, it was Jesus who said this in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 25, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away?" And so who are you living for? Is it for you and your pleasures? If it is, Jesus said you're wasting your life. But if you lose your life by living for him, you're going to have a life worth living. You know, two of my most favorite words in the Bible are the words, "but now." For instance, in 1 Corinthians 15:20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes are far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. I love those words, but now. And they have such a bearing on our Christian life. You were living for personal pleasure, but now. Or you were living for a paycheck, but now. You were living for the weekend, but now. You were plowing through daily drudgery, but now. In the end, it's but now you live for Christ. The Bible says we've been bought with a price, and we're not our own. And so the question is, who are you living for? You or Jesus? Now here's question number two. What keeps you from representing Christ out there in the world? The Corinthians were guilty of having carnal, temporal sight. They saw people for what was right in front of them. Paul said that he even once viewed Jesus that way. But once he was born again and was given new spiritual sight, he began to see people differently. And maybe that's you. All you see is what you see. But if you give your life to Christ and live for him, I promise you, he'll open those eyes of yours. And you'll see people the way he does, as lost sheep in need of a shepherd. Maybe that's what's keeping you from being an ambassador for Christ and representing Christ out there in the world. Maybe you just don't have the right vision of what people really are and what need they really have. You need to pray and ask God to open your spiritual eyes about that. That may be what's keeping you from representing him in the world. Or maybe it's something else. Whatever it is, I promise you the Bible has an answer for it. Maybe it's your past. Your past isn't pretty, and you don't think you can be an ambassador. Well, you know, that's only because you're comparing yourself to someone else with a less complicated past. That's all. But our Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, as far as he's concerned, you just need to ask his forgiveness, put your past behind you, and then get up and get busy for him. Or maybe the reason you're not representing Christ in the world is you're thinking that you don't know what to say. Well, I'll tell you what. If you'll open your mouth for the Lord, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. He's not going to do it until you open your mouth. But when you open your mouth, you'll be amazed at the things that come out as you try and talk to people about Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit working through you. Or maybe what holding you back is you don't think you know enough. Well, again, the Holy Spirit says, I'll be your teacher. He'll teach us what to say. Or maybe it's just that you're afraid. Well, I remind you that you have the Spirit of the living God living inside of you. And there is nothing too big for him to deal with. Or maybe you're not representing Christ in the world because you're thinking, what if they reject me? Well, first of all, let me just say that's just a matter of pride. And we need to pray for God to help you that way. And even if they do reject you, so what? You're in good company. They rejected Jesus before they rejected you. And I guess what I'm telling you is this. If you're hiding behind some excuse, it's time to take a step of faith and get up and get busy and go out there and tell people about Christ. Don't let anything hold you back from representing him. Now, here's the third question, and we'll be done. And this one kind of comes out of the second question. The third question is, will you accept your higher calling from Christ. God reconciled you to himself through Christ. And as a result, according to what we've read, you've been given a ministry. You've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Every single one of us as Christians has been given this ministry of telling others how they can be reconciled to God through faith in Christ. If you're a child of God, you have this ministry. If you're saved, then this is your calling, reconciling people to God through the message of Jesus Christ. And let me give it to you in the most simple way I've ever heard. Just recently on my Facebook page, I posted a quote by Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher from years gone by, and it said this: "The whole job of the whole church is to preach the whole gospel to the whole world." See, the Christian life isn't just about coming to church and learning all you can about the Bible. It's about God trying to reach the lost world through your life. He makes his appeal to the world through you and me. But too many of us are just getting in the way. Now, I don't think that I have to do much to convince you that people everywhere are far from Christ. I don't think I have to do much to convince you that that most people don't care about Jesus or God or the Bible or church. But that's why you're here. To represent the interests of your homeland while you're in this land. Now, I know that I've kind of raced through this passage of Scripture. There's so much more in it than we could possibly look at in a half hour. But I hope you've gotten this. If you're a Christian, you're an ambassador for Christ. And I want to circle back to my initial plea with you. Will you give your life to Christ? And I don't know what that means for you as a Christian individually, but I know that there's not one of us in this room this morning, me included, that couldn't take one more step towards a deeper place of commitment to Christ. Maybe that means accepting his call on your life. Maybe that means to start living for him. It might mean that you need to speak up for him even when you're scared. It may mean you need to reflect more on his love for you. I don't know. That's between you and him. But maybe there's someone here today in this room, or maybe someone watching by way of the internet, who has never trusted in Christ as his or her Savior. And if that's you, I wonder, would you give your life to Christ today? Would you be reconciled to God today? Would you call out to Christ right now, right where you are, in your own words, and invite him into your heart and trust in him and him alone for forgiveness and eternal life and a home in heaven? All I can say is, if you know God is dealing with you and tugging at you and reaching out to you, whether you're a Christian in need of a new, fresh commitment about being an ambassador for Christ, or you're a lost person in need of establishing a relationship with Christ, whatever the case, I plead with you to give your life to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God and for the challenge to our hearts about being ambassadors for you. Lord, help us to take it to heart and not leave this message here in the church house, but help us to carry it with us. Help us to be the very best ambassadors for you that we could possibly be. Help us never to be ashamed or afraid to put a word in for you. Help us to let our light shine for you in this dark world. Father, we look at the world around us and we can see it getting darker and darker. We can see it getting more and more wicked. Help us in this darkness to shine as bright as we possibly can. Help us to openly and unashamedly proclaim the good news of Jesus in this world. And Lord, I do pray that if anybody in this room, anybody watching by Facebook has not received Christ as their Savior, I pray that today they take that step of faith and invite him in to wash their sins away and to give them everlasting life and to make them part of your family. And so, Father, continue to allow your Holy Spirit to work as we bring the service to a close. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.